It's time to get up, get motivated, and start making moves for yourself instead of working to make someone else rich. These are genuine experiences and the stories of real entrepreneurs that made the ultimate decision to live for themselves in order to achieve unbelievable results. You're listening to The Time Is Now, making your business personal. Now here's your host, Kent Clothier.
What is going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to another episode of The Time Is Now. I am your faithful host, Kent Clothier. Glad you made it here today, and I am joined by a really good friend of mine, a gentleman by the name of Steve Richards. What's going on, Steve? You here, brother?
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me.
Of course. Of course. I'm glad you made it on here. Guys, you're in for a real treat today. Steve's going to kind of jump in, talk a little bit about, you know, his business, his real estate business. He and his partner have a very successful business up in the Indy market. Steve has flipped over 500 properties, kind of done a little bit of everything, gone out and had a whole turnkey business and really was building a portfolio, then has done a lot of wholesaling. I'll let him kind of tell more about it, but I've got him on here because he is one of our billionaire boardroom members. He's a guy that I have a ton of respect for. He's doing a lot of deals. He's got very interesting background. He's, you know, he's just a guy that's passionate about the business. So I thought you guys could learn a lot from hearing from somebody that's out there doing it each and every day, and let him share his wealth with you. So, dude, I'm glad you're here.
Yeah, man. I'm excited to be here.
Talk to me for a minute. Tell me how you got, you know, kind of take us back a little bit. How long have you been buying and selling real estate, first off?
12 years. So we started back in 2004, going into 2005. We started out doing retail flips, just buying them from a bank on the MLS, you know, hiring realtors to sell them. And about 6 months into it, I quit my corporate America gig. I was kind of climbing up the ladder, and the higher I got, the more nosebleeds I got. And I wanted to do my own thing. And so 6 months into this, I went full time with it, and I've been full time since. So since 2005.
So what was the big motivation? What made you decide, hey, I got to do this?
You know, it wasn't so much the house buying piece of it. It was just, I'd always been kind of entrepreneurial, but I didn't know, you know, you don't know what you don't know, right? So until I was close to 30, you know, when I first got out of college, I went to a quick step back. I got out of college in the late 90s and I was doing consulting and software sales, and I saw the dot-com craze, the last bit of the run up. And I saw all these crazy ideas on napkins getting, you know, a bunch of venture capital. And we worked with a lot of really cool startups. So I kind of got bit by the entrepreneurial bug, but I didn't know the practicality of it. So I started diving into all the standby books, you know, Think and Grow Rich and First Step, Poor Dad, the same stuff that everybody read in the beginning. And a lot of those happened to be more focused towards real estate, but I just knew I wanted to do something on my own. So that's kind of what happened. And so I was looking for whatever that vehicle was to get out on my own and be creative. And I've learned later that my purpose in life is to create opportunity for myself and others. I didn't know it at the time, but I was dying to get out and create. So I met a guy at the gym that I used to play basketball with that spent, you know, 15, 20 grand going to seminars, Ron LeGrand and all those guys, and he didn't have the time to implement. So we partnered up and it just took off from there.
So what does took off from there mean? Kind of take me through it. What does that mean?
You know, it's funny. We decided that we were going to buy a few houses after spending Saturdays driving around making lowball offers for week after week. You know, our wives wondering like what the heck we're doing. We didn't really understand, but we went to a few more seminars and didn't know what it was really going to take to run business. I mean, we were so focused on the house part. We didn't realize there's metrics behind it and business planning. We didn't have any of that stuff in the beginning. And we finally decided we're going to buy a house because even if we lose 5 or 10 grand on a house, you know, worst case scenario was break even. We thought even if we lose 5 or 10 grand, that's cheaper than going to another week long seminar with plane tickets and hotel. So, you know, we took off. And like I said, I mentioned in 6 months, from buying our first house, we had it ramped up to buying 5 houses in a month and fixing and flipping them. And then after 6 to 12 months in the business, we started buying rentals, and I was full time in the business and just immersing myself in everything I could, understanding, you know, different ways to deal. So that's what I mean by off and running, but we still didn't have a plan. I don't think we really had a legitimate plan for the first 5 or 6 years. We were just kind of bouncing around, just self-employed dudes, you know, doing real estate transactions. That was it.
So those first 5 or 6 years, I mean, what does that look like? I mean, you guys are, you're making a shit ton of money, but just had no plan, or are you kind of still struggling a little bit, or kind of all of the above?
All the above, because it was so up and down, like the ebb and flow. It was a horrific roller coaster that I think a lot of entrepreneurs go on. So we'd have a bunch of cash come in, and then we'd get in more deals, and then some of them wouldn't sell. And, you know, we'd go from having 100 grand in the bank account to having $1,000 in the bank account, and, you know, trying different things and thinking, oh, maybe we should do short sales, or, hey, maybe we should do this. Let's do some marketing. Well, we got some deals, but then we got busy and quit marketing, or let's hire some people, or let's do property management. And that's kind of what eclectically the downturn actually helped us quite a bit, because it took away the margin of error that was so simple to make money when the market was super hot. And we were forced to look more towards something a little steadier and understand the rental market. And when we did that, we ended up at some point, I don't know, within the first couple of years of buying rentals, we had about 40 units of our own, and we had to hire staff. And we kind of, by happenstance, got into property management. And things, I think, that's when they started evening out, because we realized, okay, now we're kind of focused on this rental piece. We're going to go after turnkey business. So we finally had an identity 5-6 years into this thing. And once we had that, it was easier to start making plans and decisions, because we started to understand, you know, who we are. And I think that helped a lot.
So you finally figure out who you are, start trying to level out the business a little bit. Talk a little bit about the turnkey business. Mm-hmm. How did that come about? Were you just focused on the rentals and it took you into that particular part of the market? Talk to me.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll tell you, it's funny, because the next big phase of our business, I strongly use the word happenstance. Like, we got into that business out of happenstance. Like, we wanted to manage our own properties. And once we started doing that, we had a staff and we had the ability to do it. We were selling houses instead of selling them to retail buyers. We were selling them to landlords. And we had a couple bigger RIAs that started doing bus tours with us.
Oh, nice.
And then we found out, like, a lot of, yeah, it's great, right? And we start selling, but then we start selling our soul off, like, 1/100th at a time. So this guy would want, hey, I'll buy this, but can you, like, change out all the flooring in it for me? Or this guy wants to buy it. He doesn't like the property manager. And so eventually all these little things happened and we ended up managing for other people. It just seemed like a natural progression. And I think it was, but the reality is it was a slippery slope of getting away from. So we knew who we were, and who we were was selling the houses, you know, the focus on this turnkey part, but it wasn't the management piece. But we got into that. And once, you know, years into that, we realized later, like, we're not the service piece. We were making most of our revenue off services. Once we had a REIT client and some other big clients that were, you know, kind of the big, you know, the tail wagging the dog thing. So we were really building a business for other people. And the cool thing is, though, it's a progression, because we couldn't have got to where we are without that. And, you know, looking back on it, one of the big lessons for me was we figured out who we are, but we weren't doing it right. We weren't doing us right. So you always preach this, and it's one thing I love about you when you talk about your perfect day. Well, I basically built the perfect business for all my clients. It had nothing to do with my perfect day. It was, this is the business my clients want, so it's really easy to sell houses. So when we were focused on, we're people that sell houses to landlords, we were able to grow the business into a 7-figure business, you know, and have several hundreds of units at a time going. But the issue was, we were serving the business and not the other way around. So that was a big epiphany that took several years until we got to a certain critical mass to realize, I mean, man, we're just about toilets, tenants, and contractors here. I'm not utilizing my creativity. You know, I felt like the business was kind of sucking the life out of me at that point.
Oh, I get it. So where's the business today?
So 2013-ish, I read a book called Traction, which everybody talks about a lot. I know you guys do, and Sean does a lot. And I couldn't even get past the core values chapter. So I was like, wait a minute. I'm so mismatched right now that this is an issue. So I worked through that book myself a couple times, and then brought my staff on, because we had bloated to have a pretty decent sized team and a lot of agents and a brokerage and a construction company, a management company. And I started bringing my key people in towards the end of 13, early 14. And at some point in the spring, summer of 14, when we were implementing Traction, I realized what it was going to take to be a world-class organization. And I've told you this before, Kent, that I had like the Inc. 500 with Memphis Invest, $50 million revenue, whatever. I had it circled and stuck on the wall outside my office, because I was like, that's our high watermark. Like, we're basically, I loved all the things you guys did. I loved the way you guys had educational webinars for, you know, you trained your clients and sold through education. And we did a lot of that same stuff, and we were trying to target for that. But man, we just didn't have the owner-operator mentality. I had the vision, but not the implementer. So, you know, that definitely was tough. So sometime in that, around 2014, in the middle of that year, we decided we had to blow it up, and it was really, really hard. And I know one of the things, looking back, that's probably one of the hardest things I've ever had to do. And I've heard you say that, you know, the term leaning into fear. It's definitely hard to look at a big business that you've started. And, you know, one time there's 20 or 30 families, depending on how many maintenance guys working for us and agents that were feeding them, their families off of our business. But to look to those people and say, we're shutting this down. we're out, you know, 90% of our business was based around the management and construction and the services part of what we were doing, not even the house flipping anymore. That was just one little piece in it. So at the end of 14, I decided to start to shut that down. And I kind of had this really pretty 6-month plan. And then I think sometimes God laughs at that and says, you know, that's a really neat little plan, Steve, but let's do it in like 6 days.
Yeah, exactly.
So the first time I opened my mouth to a couple people, it was it. Steve's closing it down. People upset, people make changing plans, people firing us, people begging for extra work from us. I had people suing me because I was backing out of contract. I had to back out of contracts with clients and out of country. And it was unbelievable, but it was the best thing that ever happened to me, looking back on it. And
so why would you say it's the best thing that ever happened to you? What makes it the
I'll
best?
Tell you, there's
what did you learn? Obviously, what that tells me is you learned something big, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So I could, this could be like a 10-part, like mini series podcast, but let me tell. So have you ever, like when you know something's wrong and you just can feel it, you don't know exactly what it is, but it's just like nagging at you, right?
Yeah.
You kind of know like this just isn't right, but you feel obligated. So I don't know what it's called, but something in your brain, like when you get a dent on the side of your car and you're really pissed about it, but eventually, like after a week, if you don't get it fixed, you keep forgetting about it until you see it. And then eventually, if you don't get it fixed, like after a month, like it doesn't bother you as much. Like,
right.
That had happened to me in the business. Right. So I had lulled myself into this horrible sleep. And I think I told you guys at our last mastermind meeting, but I can't even get in and out of my office. If I had to go to the bathroom, like I'd have to leave my office and walk through the lobby past the admins. And like I would fake phone calls. I would mute my phone so it wouldn't ring while it's on my ear. And I'd have my finger up like, hold on, I'm on the phone. Like I just needed to get out. And I was finding any reason not to go in the office in the morning. It was crazy. And to the outside, we're running a big RIA. We have all these clients. Like it looks great and all this great stuff is going on. But the reason that I said that it was one of the best things that ever happened to me was I didn't realize, like if I would have tried to back out like a little bit at a time over 6 months, like I thought, it just would have been death by a million cuts. But when it just ripped the bandaid off, man, it hurt bad, like really bad. But there was people taking such advantage of the situation and so many things we were doing that were wrong for me and for my family. And people started sticking their hand in the cookie jar, people working for me and stole clients. And it was crazy. And at the time I was hurt really bad. Like, I can't believe that these people would do this. And after I've supported them and you know how it is, so many employees come in and they have hardships and they ask for extra money ahead or loans or like I'd helped so many people so much over the years, but to see a lot of them turn their back on me, it just made me realize like I wasn't in a good place. And when I look back on it, having gone through that made me realize that I had lost focus on what's important and building the business to support me. And that's why I think there's a million lessons I learned. You know, a lot of the main like normal ones are like, you know, staying in your strengths, building the business to support you and all that kind of stuff. But just knowing that it's not about everybody else. And that's not to say we're selfish or greedy. But because of the way things were going, I made my business about other people, but then I wasn't my best where I could help more people. Like it was dragging me down. My business was more of an anchor than a thruster that it could actually like put me in a position to help more people with my strengths. Does that make sense?
Totally. 100%. And where it's a burden, right? I mean, you're not congruent.
Yeah. I'm sure I was depressed. I mean, I wasn't laying in bed sucking my thumb. But that's got to be some kind of psychological issue when you're faking phone calls to not have to talk to your employees, right?
Yeah, I think like that's a clear indication that something's wrong.
Yeah, well, I was so messed up, I couldn't see that. I just thought the ball of wax rolling was the way it was, you know, and I thought I could keep fixing it over time, like little by little, make course adjustments. But we were big ball of wax rolling the wrong, like completely in the wrong direction.
Hey, this is Kent, and thanks for listening to the show. Just wanted to give you a quick heads up. If you're interested in real estate investing and looking for a way to get started, go to thetimeisnow.com. Right there on the page, you'll see an opportunity to just log in and get a free copy of my best-selling book. It's a great way to get started, learn a lot about one of our most basic strategies in real estate called wholesaling, reverse wholesaling to be specific, exactly how you can get started right now. Got a whole list of resources in there, step-by-step instructions, everything you need. Again, go check it out at thetimeisnow.com.
So you fix it, you get it course corrected, you start making some things happen. So now you're out there. What does the business look like? You're wholesaling. You guys, you and Brian are doing a lot more wholesale properties now, right?
Yep, absolutely. So through that, I realized I wasn't going to own a brokerage any longer. And kind of serendipitously, I met Brian, my business partner, at a RIA that we help run here in town. And he didn't know anything about wholesaling, but he was flipping houses, just wanted to kind of get to know me better. So we ended up partnering up on a few deals that turned into doing, let's just do some marketing together. And I really don't like partnerships very much, but ours works. We're very congruent in the big picture, but we're complete opposites in the detailed picture. And now what we focus on, I realized the intellectual piece of the business is where all the money's made. You know, knowing how to find the off-market deals, knowing how to negotiate with different personality types based on what kind of situation they're in, and then understanding how to market to investors, and then knowing that we've done hundreds and hundreds of deals, so I can talk to any investor and help them with the strategy of understanding what they're trying to do and how the properties we have can or can't fit with them.
Mm-hmm.
So using our minds and spreadsheets and software is where all the power is in the marketing and sales, really. And it's not in the renovation and management and leasing and all that kind of stuff. So we focus now on just direct mail mostly and negotiating wholesale deals. And we pluck some off every once in a while. We try not to, but we pluck some out to renovate ourselves and getting more far and few between now. And we're just focusing on, you know, really providing a service to the investors to say, look, we understand what you're looking for. And it's really your reverse wholesaling piece where we can sit down and say, look, let me hear what your goals are. Just like with a seller, when you're trying to find that non-monetary reason they're selling a house, what's their hot button? Sick mom, want to move, getting married, you know, divorce, whatever. There's a non-financial hot button with the buyer too. Want their wife to stay home with their kids. They want to retire and have cash, whatever.
Yep.
So we can do that same thing with the buyers. And I can understand because of all my experiences, which properties and which situations will fit with them. So it really helps in our wholesaling.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I mean, I think that when you take the time to actually learn the skills versus focusing on just the transaction, but learn the skills of identifying those hot buttons with a buyer, identifying those hot buttons with a seller, getting good at the marketing piece of it. I mean, this thing gets easy pretty quickly. Easy is a poor choice of words, but you understand what I'm saying.
Simple.
Simple. Right. You're like, oh, wow, man, I had no idea that this could be as cool as it actually is.
Yeah. And just as a side note to that, that was one of my issues with one of the things I learned about myself through this process. One of the great things about killing the turnkey business was I have this need to create, like I said, and if I don't find an outlet for it, I will put my creativity into something if I don't directly on purpose. So I indirectly built three other companies and had all these marketing plans and all these ideas and employee development and whatever we were doing. And I think the simplicity of real estate gets in the way of somebody who has a strength in creativity and who's entrepreneurial, because you think it, you want to make it harder than it is. Not only do you feel kind of guilty and weird, but you're super bored. Like so instead of starting new business lines, I have to like figure out what new metrics I can pour into and figure out like cool spreadsheets for.
Yeah.
I have to do something.
Like, surely this can be more complicated than this. I can't stand the fact that it's this simple to make money.
Yeah. It's crazy. Like, and I think that's why we, you know, like in the boardroom is great as being around the peers that we can all say, look, this isn't the outlet for my creativity. I can realize that now. Like building a sustainable, consistent business that runs without me, which we're not there yet, but we're working towards getting that, is the ultimate thing I need, not to outlet my creativity, but to let me go outlet it somewhere else, you know, and do something else. Like, I'm ultimately not going to be putting my creativity into this business because it doesn't need it.
Yeah, it just works.
It doesn't need it at all.
Yeah, no. I mean,
yeah.
What it does is it allows you to create the income that, and then turn around and take that income to buy time, buy freedom, so that you do have some other outlet, or you're creating that other outlet for that creativity, that need. And in you, it's creativity, but for other people, it could be something else, right? I need to go and give back to my charity, or I need to spend time with, you know, whatever it is.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah, you're a visionary creator like I am. I mean, I love the idea of building the business. And I can't stand the idea of sitting there and having to ultimately run the business, right? I do it,
yep,
but I absolutely am much better at taking an idea and turning it into a really, really big idea, comparatively speaking.
Yep. And that's why Brian and I are such good partners, because I would literally come up with a million ideas that we can't implement. And I would also negotiate a bunch of things and get them all handshook and everything, but not show up at the title company to pick up our checks, you know, or forget to like send our wire instructions. So you need, I mean, it's for everybody listening. If they're like us, like you've got to have implementers. And Brian is like so awesome with that. In fact, we were just struggling this week with, we want to switch some software. I do. And we're looking to kind of reamp like the EOS stuff, like to another level, like kind of redo it to take it to a bigger level. And then we're changing some marketing, and then we brought on a new key player on our team. And, you know, Brian's head is just swimming, and rightfully so. And so he's like, hey, I realize like you're the one pushing business and everything, but he's like, let's talk, because you're trying to do, when he laid it out, I was like, oh yeah, we're trying to change our operating system for our business.
I'm just trying to change the entire thing all at one time. You don't mind, do you?
I'm like, what? Different marketing, key player, new software, new business practices. What? Yeah, we can do that in June. I mean, what are we going to do in July?
Seriously.
So like, what is my head's going to explode.
If you're looking back, and we're about to wrap this up. So we're looking back, right? And you're giving advice to your 22-year-old self. What's the advice? You know, when you're looking at business and life and trying to figure this stuff out and going through kind of the school of hard knocks and figuring out what you do like about real estate and then what you don't like about real estate, and then actually finding out that, you know, this is something that plays to my strengths versus my weaknesses or vice versa. I mean, what's the big advice that you would share? Because there's a lot of people out there, man, that are trying to figure out how to make a go at this thing. They're trying to figure out that, quite frankly, they would trade places with you in a second. They just want to own a business. They want to own a business that's doing millions and millions of dollars and flipping houses and where they can own their own time and all these things. You know, these are the kinds of problems many, many people want, right? And just as a reminder, for you to be in the billionaire boardroom, you're doing at least $500,000 or more to the bottom line. So this is, I mean, you're in a definitely exclusive territory here. So you worked your ass off to get here. But my point would be, what would you go back and tell yourself or anybody else listening that, hey man, this is the one thing?
So can I answer with one and a half?
Of course.
So let me tell you one thing that I've seen after being in groups like boardroom with you guys, and just trying to look at what's going on from the outside looking in. And one thing I loved about the turnkey business was being our clients were totally different than when you're rehabbing houses and flipping them to homeowners. We had smart, entrepreneurial, affluent clients that were making, you know, really cool financial decisions. Like being around all these different people, like one thing that I would go back and tell myself is it's a skill that I'm not the best at, but I've been developing over time, but it's discernment. It's like, the choices that we make all add up, even the smallest ones, even like what we eat and what we think about when we go to bed and all that stuff. But choices are so powerful. And one thing that I've seen with successful people is their discernment of what to say no to, more importantly, even than what to say yes to, but just decision making. And when you're not comfortable taking a step back. And so like my half answer to that as well, is a lot of decision making, I feel like, for entrepreneurs, especially anyone that's listening that's in the middle of a business and they're in the throes of it and trying to get it to work. Sometimes we make decisions based on cash flow. Making decisions based on clients is bad enough, but when you're making them based on cash flow, like you're in a bad place, really bad place. And I know we all have to do that, but you have to recognize this isn't good. I got to get out of this. So I think I would tell myself, like, discernment is really important. So like looking around the corner and understanding, you know, if I make this decision, how does that change things? And one of the reasons I think decisions are so important is because we need to have options. And I would tell myself to also make sure you always have options. And what I mean by that is, again, not getting into like having to make a decision because of cash flow or because of a client or because of an agreement that you've strapped yourself to. And so some of the best advice that I've ever heard, kind of a two-part thing, but one is we should be just as happy to be on either side of the negotiating table of any deal we do. So if we put ourselves in the other guy's shoes, we should be just as fine taking that side of the deal And the second piece of that is any deal that we're saying yes to, we should be just as happy to walk away and say no to it. And so when you're doing deals, if you can't follow those two things, like I'm completely fine with saying yes or no to this deal, my business is not affected. It could be good for me, but I'm also not going to go out of business if I say no. And then also knowing that if I were on the other side of the table, I would be okay with this deal. That's power. That's a lot of power. That's because you have options to say yes or no, and you feel good about what you're doing. I don't know how to bottle that up and take it back, you know, to 20 years ago or whatever, but man, it's just powerful, right? Like over time, you realize how important your choices are. So I know it's a long-winded answer, but.
No, dude, I thought it was great. I thought it was great.
Cool.
No, that was really good.
It's taking me a long time.
Bottom line is, I think, you know, if I was going to try to paraphrase that, at the end of the day, we're just a collection of the decisions we make, period, right? And so trying to own those decisions, learn from those decisions, you're never going to, you know, I think it's equally as important to tell everybody you're never going to be right 100% of the time. You got to be willing to be wrong. But the power to make a decision, the power to learn from it, the power to try to see the decision from multiple angles is a really, really great skill to develop sooner rather than later. Right?
Yeah.
I think there is a shit ton of power when you can just sit there and say, this is my decision and I've thought about it and this is how we're going to go. And you're convicted about it and you're ready to go and you're willing for it to be wrong, but you believe passionately that you're right.
Yep. Yeah. And also that goes along with that is knowing that indecision is a decision. The decision to do nothing is a decision. And it's usually a bad one. So, yeah, that was a great collection of the decisions we make. You said it a lot faster than I could.
I love it. I appreciate having you on here, brother. It's been amazing having you here. I loved hearing your insight. I love giving people out there perspective and from guys that are actually on the ground doing it each and every day. If people want to reach out to you and, you know, just get to know you, say hello, maybe become friends on Facebook, whatever, what's the best way for them to get to you?
They can find me, you know, Steve Richards again. You can look me up on Facebook and just send a friend request, or they can go to redevelopindy.com. It's our website. They can just submit their email on there. And then the little, how can we help you? Just say, hey, I heard Kent's podcast. And the final thing is we're real excited. We're getting ready to, we talked about it in the boardroom. I don't know if you were in the meeting when we were talking about it, but we're launching a podcast called The Business Behind Flipping. So that'll be out in July. It's called The Business Behind Flipping. And it's going to be, the whole premise is hobbies cost you money and businesses make you money. And you can't scale a self-employed gig. So that's kind of the whole two-part premise to it. And we're excited about that. And a lot of it's just coming from what we're learning from being around guys like you. So,
yeah, I couldn't have said it better myself, man. Cool, you know, I live and breathe that all day long. So, I love it.
Cool.
Well, cool, man. We'll put links on the show notes here. When people go to thetimeisnow.com or kentclothier.com, just click on the podcast up there and you'll see Steve's podcast down in the notes. You'll see everything that we talked about here today, as well as all the links out there. Do us a favor. Let Steve know that you appreciated having him on. Let us know what you thought down there in the comments. And you know what? Even better, go on iTunes and do us a favor and leave us a review over there. And your comments are appreciated there as well. As always, we appreciate having you guys on here, Steve. I appreciate you, brother. And until we meet again, peace, guys. See ya.
You've reached the end of this episode, but there's plenty more for you over at thetimeisnow.com, where you can sign up for our free mailing list to help you make the next big shift in your career. As always, we'll see you next time on the Time Is Now podcast, where your business is personal.